Let's pray tonight. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the way that you guide us, that you lead us, and that you watch over us. And Lord, I pray that as we examine our hearts this evening, that you will just help us to look into your word, to listen to your spirit, and to respond as you would have us to in a proper way. Lord, we choose to worship and adore you tonight, and I pray that through Bible study and through looking at your word that you will get the glory and the praise that is due to you. For it's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In school, there was something that I didn't really think about, and kids don't really think about, until you get on the other end of being a teacher, and you begin to realize something, and that's that in teaching and education process in school, what happens is you get taught something in kindergarten. And then you get taught in first grade, second grade, third grade. And you just think that you're going to school and you're learning all this stuff and everything. But you want to know what teachers do, and I begin to understand, is that they teach the same thing every year. And they just add on, go a little bit farther. And I can remember I have my junior high English teacher and my high school English teacher here in the room. And Mrs. Hanel taught me lots of stuff. And I can still remember from 7th grade or 6th grade or 5th grade, am, is, are, was, were, be, being, been, do, does, did, shall, will, should, may, might, must, can, could. And she taught me all these things. And then come along a few years later, and Bob Bowker is teaching me the same things and just instilling those same concepts in, just adding a little bit more. And in math class, I began to realize that as a teacher, I taught, and I'll say this to kids sometimes when they're a senior, I'll say, I taught you this in 9th grade, in 10th grade, in 11th grade, in 12th grade now. The fact that you've got it is good. That's good. You finally have caught on. And I've begun to understand that and to learn that. But there's also a concept that I can sit and I can teach in class and I'll feel like kids are getting it. And they'll be answering all my questions. And I'm like, this class, wow, these guys are good. And I'll ask a question. They'll repeat right back to me what I want to know. They'll work through it with me. And then I give them homework and I let them do it on their own. And I have no idea how to do this. And I said, we just spent 40 minutes doing the exact same thing. And while I was holding your hand, you could do it. But then when it became time to put it into practice, that's when it got kind of hard. So tonight, as we look at some of these people, I'd like us to kind of think about the scriptures is the same thing. We read the scriptures, we go to church, we see this stuff and we hear it, and on a Sunday morning it hits our heart, on a Sunday night it touches our soul, and we hear about it and we think, yeah, that's great, that's awesome. And then Monday morning when it's time to put it into practice, oh, it feels like homework, right? And what did you do with homework in school? You put it off to the last second. In high school and in middle school, that's often what I did. And then I got to college and everything changed. And some of you guys know Jared Baker. Him and I were best friends all through college. But we had a very different approach to things. When we would get our little syllabus with our assignment, I'd get to work on it. We'd have this book to read, and in college, I would read a little bit every night. I'd read a little bit every night. I'd say, Jared, you know that book assignment's coming due. And he said, yeah, I know. So I get to last night, and I'd have about 2 pages left to read. And he'd have about 600 left to read. And he would read it. We'd turn in the same paper, take the same test, and he always got 1 point better than me. Guess that's why he's the lawyer now and stuff. So, but it was always like that with Jared and I, but putting things into practice. And so tonight I'd like to talk to us. We've been looking at these guys that when we said believers are identified with an extraordinary Christ who has absolute supremacy. He called believers to live ordinary lives in an extraordinary way. And we begin to look at our trusted assistant, a story of grace and hope, faithful, being faithful during adversity, the recovered friend, the encourager. And last week we left off looking at the encourager, and we've read this and read this, Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 15 a number of times. And tonight I'd like to focus in on verses 12 to 15. And I'm not going to start back at 7 like I have been. I'd like to just read 12 to 15 because I really have a goal of, I would like to talk about three people, and I'd like us to focus in on these guys and to look and to see what God has from us from these few verses of Scripture. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church that is in his house. And so I've suggested that looking at the end of the book of Colossians, I can see that I've read Colossians a number of times. I've looked at it. I've kind of studied it. But until preparing this, I never thought about the guys that Paul, I knew they had a story, but I thought that that story was so distant and far out and that these were just guys that Paul was talking about. But then when I began to look and see that these guys have a story in Scripture, and that their story is laid out for us, and we could learn something. And so I chose 8 of these individuals, and we've been looking at them and seeing, and I've suggested, and I've said that the church needs 7 out of 8 of these. The last one is for a warning. But 7 out of 8 of these guys, the church needs, and if it's going to be a body that is, you know, Paul describes it as, if you have a body, you can't all be eyes. You can't all be hands. You can't all be feet. You need all the different parts of the body. So the church needs all these different parts. And I kind of gave you homework, and I'm wondering if you did the homework of going out of your way to say, you were like this person in my life, and thank you for being a Barnabas, a Mark, Onesimus. And you were, maybe you go to somebody and you say, in my life and the things that I've done, you've been a faithful servant. You've been somebody that God has put in my life to help me when I need it. You were an encourager when I needed it the most. Your testimony of what God did and how he changed your life has inspired me to live for Christ. And I kind of, And like I said, we say this, you say the same things, you hear these things over and over again, but when you get the homework, sometimes that's the difficult part. And I wonder, and I'm just kind of reminding you, have you taken the opportunity to go out of your way to do that to someone, to encourage them by saying, in my life, you were like this person? And maybe that will bring up a conversation. They might say, who is Mark? And what does that even, you're like Mark in the Bible? And maybe you'll get a chance to share from God's Word and look up a couple of verses and say, this is what you have meant to me in my life. And so I'd just like to encourage you to do that. And the first person we're going to look at today is Epaphras. And as Paul states here, he is the prayer warrior. And if you look back in Colossians chapter 1, this is what we started with way back in October. We were looking at this verse where it says, as you learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. And we said that probably Paul had never been to this church, but he had had a ministry with Epaphras, who took the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and brought it to this community and started a small church. And after he got things rolling, the world and outside of the church began to try to infiltrate it and to bring it down through false teachings, through people bringing in doctrines that were going to hurt the church. And he said, Paul, what do I do? How do I fix this? And Paul wrote a letter, and the letter centered around Jesus Christ. This book, we've said, as we've been studying, it's about Jesus Christ. And when error and truth and falsehood come into the church and they begin to try to destroy, where do you have to go? To the foundation. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. If your church is going to stay strong, it has to remain on the foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who was born as a man, 100% God, 100% man, and that he came to this world to redeem us from the penalty of sin by his finished work of the death on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when error and false, that's where you've got to go back to the foundation and start with that as a foundation and say the word of God that Jesus Christ put his stamp of approval on has all the answers that a church will need. And it's right found right here. And so is the church heading the right way? Well, what does Jesus Christ in the scriptures that he spoke of have to say? And you'll have your answer. And Epaphras, it says here about here, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. The church needs prayer warriors. If there's something, and you might, as you look at this list, you look at Onesimus, the story of grace and redemption, of how God took someone who was so far gone and he brought them to saving grace. And you say, I don't have a testimony that would be played on Unshackled. I was saved in church at 4 years old and I've been living for the Lord ever since. Well, that's a testimony that people need to hear, whether you like it or not, or you think that or not. That's a testimony that people need to hear. You might say, I'm not an Onesimus. You might say, I don't have the story of a Mark. And I'd like to be an encourager, but I don't think I'm very good at that. And I'm really nervous about talking to people. You can work on some of these things. But what every single one of us can put into practical work is being a prayer warrior. And I say this. I started off this morning saying teachers at school from first grade all the way up to 12th grade, they keep teaching kids the same basic principles and just add a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Preachers, when they come up and they preach in front of people, what are they always saying? If you want to live the Christian life, you need to be faithful in prayer. And maybe you sit there and you say, yeah, that's good. We need to be faithful in prayer. But then when you put it really, well, are you being faithful in prayer? On Monday, when nobody's standing right behind you and saying, prayer is going to change your life, are you down on your knees and praying? On Tuesday, when the middle of the week begins to hit and you haven't gotten somebody to encourage you to pray, are you praying? And what will be the thing that will help you to be particular in prayer? And I don't know what that is for you. I know when prayer was hard for me. I heard stories of people like Roma Wayne. And I was I sat in church and I'd hear pastor talk about Roma Wayne, going through that list till it was worn out, and praying for people that she had never met. And praying and praying and praying. And I was like, that's great. I want to do that. I'm going to start tomorrow. And I go home, and Monday would come, and I'd read my Bible, and I wouldn't pray. Well, at least the way I should have. Maybe a sentence or two. I remember reading the Bible. I could do that because I had like a little checklist that I kept in my folder, and I'd check off, oh, I read that. That I found that to be something that I could do. But prayer was a real struggle. And the devil wanted to keep me from praying every day. I might pray before a meal, but really being a prayer warrior and Epaphras was tough for me. And there was something that really changed my life. And I brought one of my prayer notebooks here. I started keeping a prayer journal. And so here I've got a prayer journal of just the prayers that I had every day. And I started keeping this, and I'm not saying that that's what would work for you, but this is something that I did in my life. I said, God, okay, I'm just going to write a paragraph. And before you know it, I was writing a page every day. Just spend 15 minutes with God and pray. I'm praying for this person and this person and this person. Before you know it, I had a list of people that was great, and I was praying for these kids and praying for people and praying and praying and praying. I was like, well, I got a bunch of boys in my class. I'll pray for them. I got a bunch of people. I got this person that's going through this. I'll pray for them. And before you know it, I began to see God answer prayers. And I said, God, I see that when we pray, you answer. And this is something that sitting in church, I had head knowledge of, but it wasn't something that was practical. It was something that I would put off, that I kind of let slide by. Well, okay, I'm praying before a meal. But is the first thing that I'm doing in the morning, getting up and praying for my kids, for my students, for the people in my life, the people who are hurting. And before you know it, as I began to pray, I began to really see how God answered those prayers. I began to write down those things. And it changed my opinion, my perspective on prayer and what God can do. And so tonight, as I look out, I don't know. I know that there are people in this church who are big prayer warriors. And I appreciate prayer warriors. And we need more prayer warriors. And I guess I'm challenging you tonight. If you're not a prayer warrior and you want to see God answer your requests in your life, if you want to see Him make a difference in your world, get on your knees and do something, anything. Now, a prayer journal is not for everybody. I understand that. I know there's lots of people and a prayer list isn't for everybody. But then again, some people have things that they would do every day that wouldn't be part of what I would do in my prayer time with God. But I'd like you to think about, what could you do this week if you really would like to be a prayer warrior? Because the church needs lots and lots of prayer warriors. And it's interesting how so often when we lose a loved one in church, we hear about how they were a prayer warrior. If we lose a prayer warrior, we need probably two or three new ones to take their place and to pray and to be diligent in prayer. And sometimes I know when I've talked to young people about praying, well, I don't know, that seems like it'd take a lot of time. It seems like that's hard to do. I know it's a challenge because the world sin, our hearts, the devil, outside influence want to make it a challenge. Our own desires, our own sin nature want to make that a challenge. But if you think about it, I've had this conversations with kids. Well, do you watch TV? Yeah. You've like sat down and watched a football game? Yeah. Oh, did you watch the commercials? Yeah. Probably. I mean, are you like in love with commercials? Do they like really get you excited? And are you like, woohoo, commercials are on TV? You probably spend more time watching commercials on TV than it would take to have a faithful, consistent prayer life. So commercials on. Turn the TV off. Pray for a minute. You got, before you even turn the television off, pray for a minute. Get started someplace. And see what God can do if you pray. If you pray, I guarantee God will answer. If you pray for people, I guarantee you will see God's hand at work. And you'll begin to see God working in the little things. And before you know it, the big things. And when we talk about a prayer warrior, we need people who are praying for the short distance. We heard some testimonies of how God answered prayer. All to talk tonight about praying about losing some checks. That's those prayers that are like a sprinter, right? No, that's those quick prayers that you know, God, I need these, and we need those kind of prayers. And we need faithful prayers. Prayers for our family. Prayers for our homes. Prayers for the people in our church. Prayers for those who are hurting. The daily consistent prayers. I consider them, if we're talking about prayer warriors, the prayer joggers. We have the prayer sprinters, and we have the prayer joggers. We also need the prayer marathon runners, right? That's hard. A marathon's hard work. I've heard Bill talk about his time running marathons. That's not easy, is it, Bill? No. And I think about what it would take to run 26 miles over hours. Whew, that's hard work. That takes a lot of work and determination. And when we talk about prayer, we need prayer marathon warriors, right? Because some prayers, the answer is going to be years away. Maybe a lifetime away. But is God faithful? Does He answer those kind of prayers? Do you have something, someone that you know that if God is going to do something amazing in that situation, it's going to take a marathon type of prayer warrior? Somebody that's going to see that work and they're going to pray and pray and pray. And pray. And if you don't know what you could do on this list, become a prayer warrior. And I guess one of the things that I really wanted to do tonight is to challenge and to say, we need people who are going to go out of their way to encourage each other. And we need people who are praying, who are warriors of prayer. The next person I'd like to look at is Luke, the scholarly physician. It says here in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And when we think about Luke, we think about Luke, the book of Luke and the book of Acts, which were written by Luke to Theophilus. And when we think about him, I think about his attention to detail and his scholarly work. And the church needs people like that. people who will study the Scriptures, who will get into the Scriptures and to grasp those truths out of the Word of God and then be able to share them and to pass them on. And they're constantly getting new ideas, new thoughts, and things to think about. I've enjoyed it when people will come up to me and they'll say, I've got a question from the Bible. And what do you think about this? You have no idea how many new things I've learned from the Bible by people asking questions and digging into them. And the church, as much as it needs encouragers and prayer warriors, it needs people who are faithfully studying the Scriptures and will be able to share that with others who need it most. And so maybe today what you are is you're a person that God has gifted with the ability to look into the Scriptures and to study them and to learn from them and to pass it on. If that's the gift that God has given to you and you're like a Luke, then use that to the best of your ability. Study. Teach a Sunday school class. Do those types of things. Then the last person that we want to look at is Demas. Like I said, he's the one on the list that I don't want anybody to be associated with. It says in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. From the book of Colossians, you don't read too much. But if we turned over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, towards the end of Paul's life, he talks about Demas again. And if we backed up to verse 9 and read what Paul had to say there, it says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. You look at that paragraph that he was with, that we just read, with Luke and with Epaphras, the person studying the Word of God and the prayer warrior who would go and share the gospel and spread the Word of God to start a church. And then you get to Demas. He's a guy that, it says here, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I'd like you to think about your heart and where you're at today. This week, as I was preparing and as I was thinking about Demas, what I did was I looked up testimonies of some people. And I read some of Christian singers and preachers, new and old, from the last few decades, of guys who had great ministries, but the world grabbed onto them and took them away from church and from following Jesus Christ and from a place where they were in a good relationship with their Heavenly Father. What a shame to be so close to the Lord and to see the testimony of the church and what God can do, and to decide that you love the outside world more than what God has to offer for you. That's something that we all need to be warned of, because it surprises you sometimes how somebody you think is living for the Lord and they're walking the right path, and then out of the blue, they leave the gospel and head off into the world. It breaks our hearts. And I hope that sitting here, we don't have someone who is contemplating being a Demas. But I would be a fool not to think that that's a possibility. That there might be somebody here who's right on the fence, who's wondering, is following Jesus Christ really worth it? And I'd like to tell you that from experience, it is worth it. And it will be worth it. We don't even know how great the things that God has in store for us. And if we're going to keep the people in our church from becoming a demon, we need to be better at these things. We need to be praying, searching the scriptures and sharing that with others, encouraging, giving the testimonies, serving the Lord, going out of our way to reach out to try and help the demons before they become a demon. Does being a demon mean that it's the end for that person who's left the faith? No. Remember, we had a mark up there, right? And there will be more marks. And so that's why we need prayer warriors praying for the demons. And I read stories of people who had done terrible things. Criminals facing life in prison and all sorts of things, that God got a hold of their heart and changed their lives forever. So I believe that for every Demas that we have, we can also find Onesimus and a Mark. And so today, I've tried to give you guys, as we've closed out the book of Colossians and we've finished this study, we've taken a look at eight people. And I'd like you to examine your heart. And I believe that everybody in this room fits under one of those eight categories. And who are you? Examine. And see what God has for you. And take those gifts, whether it be being a prayer warrior, a scholar, a faithful servant, an encourager, a testimony of a life change, a story of reconciliation. Take what God has given to you and use it to the best of your ability. And this week, put it into practice and take it home and use it. And I encourage you, if you're not a prayer warrior, begin praying. Come up with a plan of what God can do that will help you to be a prayer warrior. Maybe go out of your way and ask someone else if they would remind you and encourage you to pray and to hold you accountable. Encourage someone and put some of these things into practice. And I beg you, if you find yourself right at the end of this list and you say, as I look at this list, the person I identify with the most tonight is Demas. I don't know about following the Lord. I don't know if I can do it anymore. I don't know if my faith can continue. I plead with you. Before you choose the world, find a trusted counsel, someone in this room to spend time with and to share your burdens and your heart with. And ask them to pray with you, to be faithful to you, and to help you. And give God the opportunity to prove himself faithful. He will. He always has, and he always will be faithful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as I look out at this church, I'm so thankful for the people that I see that I could identify with as one of the people on this list. The trusted servant, stories of grace and hope, those who are faithful during adversity, the recovered friends, the encouragers, the prayer warriors, the scholarly physicians. And Lord, I pray that you might help those people to use their gifts, their talents, and abilities to the best that they can. Lord, might you encourage them tonight. And Lord, I pray that for those that maybe don't recognize who they might be on that list, Lord, I pray that someone from the congregation might go out of their way and say and let them know how they've been encouraged by their faithful living by the things that they are doing. Lord, I pray that maybe someone here tonight might decide to take up the mantle of becoming a prayer warrior and be faithful in that. And that's something that they'd like to do, and that you might change their life and the lives of those around them as you answer prayers. And Lord, lastly, I pray tonight for those who might be leaning towards the world, whose faith for one reason or another is being shaken, who are debating to follow things that look appealing to them. I pray for their soul. I pray that maybe something said tonight or someone sitting next to them might encourage them, might bring them back to living for Jesus, to the cross and to the message of the gospel, and to remind them of the good news that has meant something to them in their past. And I pray that you might help them to not run from you. Lord, I pray for us this week that we might live for you each day. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to leave you with a little quote. You may turn in your hymnals to our closing song while I'm reading this. 358, Because He Lives. But what I'd like you to think about is these words. Remember, believers, in the circumstances and being in chains. Rely on programs. You get what programs can do. Rely on education. You get what education can do. Rely on experience. You get what experience can do. Rely on a politician, and you get what a politician can do. Rely on prayer, and you get what God can do.